This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Turn on the TV these days, and it's almost impossible to avoid seeing one of those ads for gold.
1-800-GOLD-KID, get money for your gold.
Do you have unwanted, broken, or mismatched jewelry?
If you have gold rings, gold earrings, I'll give you cash.
Turn it into cold, hard cash fast.
Give you money for your gold, oh yeah.
Gold is hot. The question is why? We begin this hour with a look at the spectacular rise of gold over the past decade. Just 2 weeks ago, gold hit its record high, about $1,220 an ounce. If you'd bought that same ounce just 10 years ago, your return now would be close to 400%. In a few minutes, we'll check in with a family that recently held a gold party. That's where people bring their old jewelry and scraps of gold to someone's house and sell it to a representative from one of those gold-buying companies that advertise on TV. But first, the logic behind the gold rush. Devin Maley covers commodities for the Dow Jones Newswire, and she joins me from London. Devin, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What accounts for this fury?
Well, a lot of it has to do with fear, a fear that the U.S. dollar is going to continue to weaken, fear that there could be an inflation problem in the future, given the amount of money governments are printing to spur growth, and also fear of growing deficits in countries. And that fear really drives people into gold. It's a metal that attracts the fear trade.
Here's what I don't quite get. Presumably, you know, more and more gold is discovered somewhere around the world every day, right? I mean, it's being mined somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, big companies and even small artisanal miners are digging constantly looking.
So wouldn't more gold coming into the marketplace actually lower the price?
Yeah, you would think so. But for some reason, gold is a bit different from other commodities where the fundamentals of the metal don't matter quite as much. I mean, yes, there are some industrial applications, and certainly the jewelry market plays a role. But really, around 40% of demand for the metal does come from the investor who just buys it and puts it in a vault.
You actually wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal recently that was titled That 70s Show, and it was about how there was this unbelievable spike in the price of gold in the late 70s, and then almost instantly, gold lost about 65% of its value. Are we headed down that path?
I mean, it's possible. Some analysts have certainly predicted that. I mean, what caused gold to rise in the late 70s was a combination of things. There was a low interest rate environment, and there was an easy monetary supply, things similar to today. When interest rates started rising and monetary policies started to be tightened, gold dropped dramatically, like you just said, and that could again happen.
I read something interesting in your article which said that for the first time in 20 years, central banks of governments are buying more gold than they're selling. What countries are buying gold right now?
India has made a very large purchase from the IMF, a bit more than 200 tons of that just last month. Sri Lanka and Mauritius made smaller purchases from the IMF. Countries like China have been slowly adding to their reserves over time, and Russia has done so a bit as well, and many commentators think that they could continue to do so.
Devin, the United States has pretty significant gold reserves, right?
Yes, they do. They are the largest holder of official gold reserves.
The largest holder in the world. So the U.S. is basically sitting on all of this gold, and presumably, a lot of it is from back when gold actually backed our currency up until 1971. Why couldn't the U.S. just start selling gold, you know, while the price is high to pay off things like its debt?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a lot of people will say, but it's a very a political, it's a tricky issue. I mean, if you look at the U.K., for example, Gordon Brown sold off a huge chunk of the U.K.'s gold reserves a few years back when gold was around $300 an ounce. And so now that looks quite silly in hindsight with the price up above 1,000.
Devin, I understand there are a lot of money managers that have actually started up gold-specific funds recently, and more are starting up as we speak.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the most prominent names that has entered into that arena lately is John Paulson, and he's well known for the bets he made against the real estate markets, which proved quite profitable for him. And now he's making a large bet on the future outlook of gold.
And some analysts think that it will go as high as $2,000 an ounce.
Yes, you do get some, and most are predicting that gold will average at least above 1,000 next year.
That's Devin Maley, commodities reporter for the Dow Jones Newswire. She's based in London. Devin Maley, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now, we wanted to get a few more answers about why gold became, well, gold. So I went down to the Smithsonian's National Museum of Natural History here in Washington, D.C. So I'm standing in front of a display case of hundreds of gold specimens from places like Romania and Australia, and there's some from Brazil here, even some from Virginia and Maryland and other places in the United States. And I'm with Dr. Jeff Post. He's the curator of gems and minerals here at the museum, and that includes the Hope Diamond, I should add.
It does include the Hope Diamond,
but we're here to talk about gold.
Gold is good, yes.
So I want to ask you, first of all, how much gold is there in the world?
Well, the best estimate that I'm aware of the total amount of gold that's actually been mined, so that we've actually pulled out of the ground someplace in history, is something on the order of maybe about 170,000, 175,000 tons of gold. It would make a cube of gold that would be roughly about 60 feet on a side.
That's so smaller than the infield of a baseball
diamond. It is.
So, diamond.
So think of a football field, and you know what the 10-yard markers are on a football field. So it would be roughly two of those 10, so two first downs basically would get you to the length of that one side of a cube. And so it would be that high and that wide on each side.
All the gold in the world.
All the gold that we know of has been mined in the world would be a cube about that size.
How did gold get to become this sort of, this valuable commodity? I mean, why gold? Why not, some other metal?
Well, I think there are a couple of probably obvious reasons for that. One is the color. I mean, gold is a pretty metal. The color was recognized early on to the earliest history as being one that resembles that of the sun, and so there was sort of a special relationship, therefore, between this yellow metal and the sun. Gold is relatively rare, so you didn't find it just everywhere. So when you did find it, it was, again, something treasured or special. It's a very inert metal. That is, it doesn't react chemically with other elements in the earth or in the air or the water. And so it's a metal that exists alone as the metal, a noble metal. And so you can find gold as nuggets or in veins as relatively pure gold. So you just pick it up, you dig it out. You don't have to extract it from its ores or process it. So again, there was a ready availability to people. They could then use it, work it. You could easily hammer it. It's soft. And you could make things out of it. So I think all of those reasons are reasons why gold became something that we prized.
Jeffrey Post is the curator of gems and minerals at the National Museum of Natural History. Dr. Post, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Great talking to you.
And now that we have a better idea of what's driving the cost of gold, we're going to get back to those gold parties I mentioned a few minutes ago.
Call now and turn your unwanted gold into money.
Now, mostly gold parties are hosted and attended by people who just need some extra spending money. But charities have also caught on with gold parties to raise money for Toys for Tots, for schools and sports teams and churches. And then there's the cause of Jenny Needham. She lives in Lakeville, Minnesota. Jenny Needham, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us why you had a gold party.
We are in the process of adopting a little 11-month-old girl from India who has a cleft lip that's been repaired, and she's needing surgery on her palate. So we are very anxious to get her home and get her the surgery and the help that she needs for her palate. And we're coming down to the home stretch, and we decided to have a gold party as a way to help raise funds to cover the cost of our adoption.
So you could actually bring this baby to the U.S.?
Correct. It was a great way. We felt like this was a great way to raise money because it's a win-win. People could come with their gold that was sitting in their jewelry boxes, and they actually were able to leave with cash in their pocket, and then we received 12% of the total party sales.
So how much money did you raise?
We raised $450 that weekend. Unfortunately, the party didn't happen as planned, though. It was not the social events that I hoped it would be. Our oldest son came down with H1N1 the day before the party. So our house turned from a party house to a plagued house, but the party went on. The gold sweat people were here from Michigan that weekend, so my parents actually live close by, and they were generous enough to have the gold party people go over to their house, and people ended up just bringing their bags of gold with their name on it to me that day. Yeah, they kind of just dropped it off at the front step, and they didn't want to come in our house.
And what did people bring to the gold party?
People brought old class rings. They sold, I sold my sorority ring that was just sitting in my jewelry box. The most unique thing I thought was one lady brought grandma's gold tooth.
Grandma's gold tooth.
Grandma's gold tooth that the funeral home director had given her.
I'm sure grandma would be pleased to know where the money's going, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
And so how much closer are you now to bringing your baby to the U.S. from India?
We're about two-thirds of the way there in what we need, and it'll happen.
That's Jenny Needham of Lakeville, Minnesota. Jenny, congratulations on the new addition to your family, and I hope she comes home soon.
Thank you.